The Feel Good Food Competition. "Have you been able to get up today?" asked a concerned voiceover on Anne's telephone. It was Stephanie, Anne's best friend. "I am not feeling so sick today, just a bit blue," Anne replied. She had been fired from her job a few weeks earlier, but she just couldn't shake off the feelings of depression coming over her. She was so concerned for the future. She had no idea how she would pay the rent this month, and felt guilty that she may not have been the best mother for her son John lately. Anne would often watch her son playing in the backyard and wished that she could be light-hearted and simple like him. She often wished as well that John's father was still in the picture, but he had gone a long time ago. She felt the weight of the world pressing down on her. She remembered the day she had been fired. It all felt so unfair. She had been working at an event and it started to rain, but it was a light drizzle. She never thought staying out a few hours would make her so ill. The next day, she had a high temperature, but there was so much to be done that she decided she had better still go to work. That day, she baked cupcakes all day for a housewives and children's party downtown. It was for a reality TV show focused on four housewives and would be a very public display of their catering service. Anne was not sure how it happened, but somehow she had put 2 cups of salt and a pinch of sugar into the cake batter instead of 2 cups of sugar and a pinch of salt. She rarely tasted her cake batter because she knew it was unhealthy to eat raw eggs. So it wasn't until the truck was leaving with the cupcakes she had made that she did a taste test and realized her mistake. She had to cancel the order, and her boss fired her the same evening. She should have known. She kept beating herself up for the incident for weeks after. It had happened before. Often when she tried to cook when she was sick or depressed, she would make mistakes without realizing. Once, when she was feeling angry at her ex-husband, she decided to make fish for John. Instead of deboning it and throwing away the fish bones, she had separated the bones and fish, and then accidentally thrown all the fish meat into the garbage. She was looking at the fish bones on the counter when John came into the kitchen, and she felt like such a failure. And now, her silly mistakes had cost her their livelihood. What was worse, for the next few weeks, Anne continued to feel sick. She often had fevers and very little energy to get up, get John ready for school, and make breakfast like she usually did. Yet, Anne found a way to perform their regular routines. She hoped John was too young to feel that anything might be wrong. Yet, for those weeks, it seemed obvious that something was wrong. The pizza she made had runny sauce and slightly burned bread and cheese. The tacos she tried to make were greasy. Her famous roasted chicken turned out very bland. Even when she tried to make simple sandwiches, she would leave out important ingredients. She even forgot the jelly in the peanut butter and jelly sandwich she would make to put in John's lunchbox. A couple of times in 1 week, he complained that his sandwich was boring with just peanut butter in it. Anne had started getting more calls and visits around dinner time. People started bringing them meals from restaurants or from home. Though it was nice that she had loving friends, this hurt Anne. She was always a great chef, and now it seemed people were thinking of her as charity. Had she really become so pathetic? When the phone had rung again, she thought the calls would never end. When would this torture be finished? Would all her friends be monitoring to see how she was coping today? Stephanie was different, though. Anne knew she had the best of intentions and so she stayed on the phone longer with her than anyone else. She admitted, "I got up earlier to get John off to school, but then I crawled back under the covers. It's just such a bleak time. It's disgusting weather outside. I keep searching online for jobs. I have written dozens of cover letters explaining my experience, but I haven't heard back from anyone. I'm terrified I can't pay rent this month, and I'll probably need to ask my parents for help. It's so humiliating asking your parents for rent money at 35. I just feel so tired, so mentally drained. I can't figure out how to move forward." As the friends talked, Anne began to feel a bit better. At least she could go make herself some coffee, she thought. She only needed one job, just one thing to work out, and she was lucky to have so much support from friends and family. Unfortunately, that day, things went from bad to worse. The rain came down in buckets, just minutes after confiding in her friend when Anne had gotten the energy to get dressed and start her day. She received another phone call. This time, it was from John's school. "Is this Mrs. Burton?" the school nurse asked. "Yes, this is she," Anne said. "I am sorry to give you bad news, but your son has been in our office resting for the past hour. We were hoping he would recover quickly, but he has a fever now, and it seems that he is very weak. I would advise you to bring him home to monitor him and take him to the doctor if the fever gets too high." Anne took the news calmly. She told the nurse that she would drive down immediately to pick him up, and arrived just minutes later. She found John very pale and clammy. The nurse told her that his fever had broken, but he was still very weak and needed plenty of rest. John could walk, but looked dazed and unaware of what was going on around him. Anne carried him into their building, then up one flight of stairs, and she balanced him on her hip the way she had when he was a toddler, unlocking the front door with one hand. She laid him on the bed and pulled dry pajamas from the cupboard. "Hey, buddy, let's change into something more comfortable, okay?" John didn't answer her, but complied. She moved his limbs into the clothes and tucked him back into bed. John was 7 and prided himself on his independence, but today he did not mind his mother telling him what to do. He just wanted to drift off into sleep. After double-checking his temperature, Anne sat on the couch in the front room and stared blankly into the distance. She really needed a plan. She racked her brains and picked up the phone to call her parents, but noticed her friend had called back even after their long talk. So she decided to return her call first. Stephanie picked up the phone from her car. "I am on the way over," she said. "I have some news for you, and I think it could be really good for you." What could this news be? Anne wondered. She wasn't sure she wanted any more news today. She did think she could use a hug, so Stephanie's presence would be very welcome. Anne looked around to see if she needed to tidy up quickly. But she felt lazy and knew that Stephanie would be understanding. She wouldn't mind a few dirty dishes in the sink, or that she hadn't vacuumed for a week. She had time to give her parents a call, so she dialed their number. It rang and rang. On impulse, she left a message asking her mother to call her back when she could. Anne was daydreaming about her job prospects again when the doorbell rang. She jumped up to greet her friend and thanked her for coming. They decided to drink some mint tea. Anne was curious at that point about this big news. "All right, out with it," she said. "I don't want you to be angry with me, and I really think this is going to be amazing," Stephanie started. "A couple weeks ago, I was talking with a friend asking if they had jobs available at her restaurant. They didn't, but she told me she was going to enter a competition at the end of this month. They are having one at the Wexford Mall for professional chefs with a cash prize of $5,000. I thought, hey, Anne should do that. So I entered you as a potential participant. This morning, I got a call that you were chosen to be a contestant, her friend beamed at her. Anne did not know what to think and felt flushed and too tired. But $5,000 would be a dream come true this month. There were just so many problems, and Anne didn't know how she would be able to cook. But she had a peculiar feeling that she should accept her friend's help and become a contestant. However, just as she was going to accept, she heard John begin to cry in the bedroom and needed to excuse herself to see what was wrong. John was hunched over his stomach, and Anne knew he must be nauseated, so she took him to the bathroom to throw up. Poor boy. She told Stephanie to just sit tight in the other room for some minutes, as she helped her son, rubbing his back and cleaning up the mess before getting him back to bed. Anne felt her own stomach turn and felt quite exhausted afterward. Stephanie was still on the couch. John is sick now, too? She asked, concerned. Yes, I think he picked up what I have, Anne replied. Have you gone in to see a doctor? My husband can make a house call to examine you both, Stephanie suggested. The competition is next week, and you need to be healthy to win. Stephanie's husband worked at the hospital down the road, and he came by the house after his final shift. After looking at both of his patients, he ordered medicine for both of them and told them they must rest for a few days. Stephanie told Anne to stick to his rules. The contest was at the weekend, and it was only Monday. If she took good care of herself first, she would feel up to the challenge. So, Anne decided to let go of looking for work, clear her mind, and rest with her son. They watched movies together in bed. They drank tons of water and took their pills together, and they accepted the meals that Stephanie brought over so that Anne did not need to cook. She mostly made soups, but they were nourishing and delicious. By Thursday, Anne began to feel much better, and she became more and more determined to win the prize. She was not sure what she should cook. She decided to ask her old catering partners and co-workers for advice. She wanted to see if they had a favourite dish and if there was something special they had all loved. She wrote down ideas in her notebook and thought about how she could tweak recipes to really impress the judges. After hearing back from her co-workers and friends, she decided to make a seafood dish called paella. She always thought of the dish as very rich, with lots of texture and colour, and she loved saffron. You could never put too much saffron in a dish. The more spice, the better. It was an expensive ingredient, but Anne always kept a good supply in her pantry. This would be the best time to use it. She decided to practice once in her own kitchen. John was not yet well enough to want to eat seafood, so Stephanie volunteered to come eat with her. Anne felt pressure to prepare it perfectly. She followed her old recipe without any mistakes. However, as they both began to chew, they noticed they had to chew each bite very thoroughly. Though the spice was perfect, Anne had overcooked the shrimp, and its texture was like rubber. Stephanie said, "The taste is wonderful. You just need to add the shrimp later so it cooks less time." Anne thought Stephanie was such a great friend. She was always so honest and thoughtful. She really needed to win for her, too. You need to not overthink this, and you need to try to enjoy your time cooking. After all, it is what you really love to do. Just try to remember that, and I know you can do this. Anne was inspired. She was sure now that she could win, if she could just focus on staying positive. She gathered up all her ingredients into cardboard boxes the next day to bring them to the competition. She checked each item off a list and made sure she had everything she needed. Surprisingly, John had begun to feel better and asked to come along. "Are you sure?" Anne asked. "I'm making the seafood dish for some judges to eat." John still didn't want to eat, but he told his mum he wanted to watch her win a prize. Anne smiled and told him he could tag along, but he had to behave and stay with Aunt Stephanie. Stephanie walked in the front door as she was taking the boxes to the car. "John wants to come," she told her friend. Stephanie held out her hand for John to take and told him she was glad he was feeling better. At the mall that day, she cooked in front of hundreds of people, and there were 20 other competitors. As she was cooking, she thought of how happy she was to have such a good boy and sweet friends. She thought even if she did not win, she would somehow be okay. When it came time to present the food to the judges, they told her immediately that they loved the presentation. It looked beautiful. As they took bites of her food, they said that it was a wonderful saffron sauce and the shrimp was cooked perfectly. Anne was so happy. When the scores were announced, she was surprised to hear her name right away. She had received third place. Her friend and son cheered for her, but she felt disappointed. Yet, her disappointment, like all disappointments, didn't last long. On her way from the platform, one of the judges took her aside. "Where are you working?" he asked. "I loved your dish, and my restaurant is looking for a talent like yours. Would you be interested in a job?" Anne smiled. "Yes," she said. "I'd be very interested." Summary. Anne is a clever chef working for a professional catering business. From experience, she knows that when she is in a good mood and feeling healthy, her food usually tastes delicious. But when she is sick or feeling depressed, the food tastes bad. Unfortunately, she gets ill over the winter holiday and is fired from her job. When her son gets the same illness a few weeks later, she feels even more pressure to make money. Anne's friend enters her into a local competition, hoping she can win the cash prize. Anne finds a way to cheer herself up and cook an extraordinary meal. She does not win the prize, but wins a job.